Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really pleased to have our buddy back on talking a little bit of college sports here, which we love to do. And so I'm thinking there might be something we don't know here, that there are big things in store for Colorado State and Colorado State football. I'm looking ahead to 2027 and 2028, and I see that they're starting to schedule, the Rams are starting to schedule like an SEC team. They've added Houston Baptist and Sam Houston State.
Yes. Preparing for that national title run by building a few middleweights en route, so to speak. No, that wasn't, we saw the news notice come up a little bit on the email trail, and you saw Texas opponents coming up, added to future Rams schedule, and you do a double take and go, oh, well, this is going to go. If that were a release from CU, it would be A&M and the Longhorns. Because it's a release from CSU, we see that it's a little lower down on the pecking order, so to speak.
Well, CU's got TCU, and they're not quite in the SEC, but they're our Texas
team. And I say that because CU overschedules, with all due respect to our good friend Dave Flatty.
Yeah, and you know who let them know about that the most was Mel Tucker.
He said it, and then he didn't make a secret about it of the many myriad of reasons why he's no longer in our orbit.
Yeah, so he went to a school that schedules even tougher in Michigan State and succeeded over there brilliantly. We'll see. We'll have a Big Ten preview coming up in the next hour, but we'll see how Mel will do in his second season. But hey, first scrimmage took place this week. I don't think the offense, the vaunted air raid offense, the offense that has given Jay Norvell his signature, his success, made him sought after, made players, recruits want to play for him, didn't go quite as well, but I'm not sure that's any concern, is it?
No, this is a work in progress. And just because we're going to be saying it a lot, and just because Jay and the coaches are going to be saying it a lot, doesn't make it untrue. You've got, what, four freshmen or redshirt freshman quarterbacks at the top of the depth chart. You've got 59 new players, a majority of those on the offensive side of the ball because of the portal rules and basically the open liberalization of transfers. There was a lot of sweeping out and sweeping in, regardless of which side you are on, or whether that was a good idea or not. I know a lot of coaches here, particularly high school coaches, are not pleased with how open everybody was in the process of, yeah, you're not going to run this for us, bye. So there is a transition, and it is a work in progress, and it is going to take some time. And so I expect this to be more bumpy than not as we come out of the gate and we go back to scheduling. That's an unfortunate confluence of events when two of your four opening games to get the month started are road games at Michigan and at Washington State, and I believe weeks one and week three, respectively. So it is going to take some time, and that shouldn't shock you, given that you're basically going from, speaking Spanish to speaking Russian, or pick your analogy in terms of system, in terms of style, and going from Daz ball to something that actually looks like the 21st century.
Indeed. Hey, one of the things I was mentioned was decisions would have to be made at the skill positions. They are loaded at wide receiver. Prior to and even maybe surviving minus 3 yards in a cloud of dust under Steve Addazio, this was wide receiver U. And Dante Wright looked like the heir apparent there. But when at the end of spring, looking at the depth chart and talking to people who are on the ground with the team on a regular basis, covering them for media, Horton, Stovall, and even McCulloch were all listed ahead of Dante Wright. That means either Dante Wright, there's issues there, or these guys are that talented.
Well, Torrey Horton is that talented. And Stovall is that talented. I can, having been on the ground for that much, I can tell you that right up the top. I'll be genuinely surprised if they don't literally hit the ground running, at least from a comfort perspective, because at least they know the league. Certainly in league play, those are guys that you're going to be able to count on. And those guys coming over from Nevada, came over from Nevada for a reason. A, they knew they were going to play. B, they had played a lot with Clay Millen and in the system and already knew what the, you know, this is, you know, again, you hate to say it, it was effectively a trade. You know, they brought over guys that all knew each other and were ready to go, and they just changed colors and changed schools and changed altitude. So it's interesting that you talk about the depth in that regard. I think it's not a problem. I think it's a good problem, if any, for a couple of reasons. One, doing a little stat run, I saw there were a number of guys, I was kind of curious, who caught at least 38 balls last year. This is not going to shock you. I got one stat that's not going to shock you, and one is. This one isn't. Guys with 38 catches or more last year in the Mountain West. CSU had two, and you can name both of them because you just did one, and you know the other. He's playing for the Arizona Cardinals and Trey McBride. There were two. The Wolfpack had six. Hunter Norvell. My point being, a lot of guys are going to play. And a lot of guys are going to see the ball because they're going to come at you four wide. They may come at you four wide, maybe not play one in the Big House, although they probably will. They certainly will with Middle Tennessee, I would think, in the home opener there too. So that's by design. So not seeing Dont'a Wright first may not make Dont'a Wright happy. But if Dont'a Wright can, and I think literally from a speed perspective can do this, I think he'll get his share of looks eventually once he's up to speed, literally and figuratively, as this goes. This is a fun stat. Not a fun stat, but one I didn't see coming. Did you see the Sports Info Solutions for their NFL draft coverage went through last April every bit of game film in FBS and charted the number of injuries? Okay. The Rams finished in the top 25. They were, I believe, 19th. And tops in the Mountain West. Wow. With 58 ahead of Utah State's 55. I didn't see this when it was published, full disclosure. I think we were all in Nuggets abs mode then. But I saw this retroactively and went, ah, yes. So in addition to everything else with Daz Ball, you had guys coming off nicked for any number of reasons. So, yeah, that depth is a good thing, and I think it's going to serve them well eventually as you get guys going and they get more comfortable as the season goes on.
Adding injury to insult, the Addazio regime, thank goodness, is gone. Everybody's happy about that. Give us just a half a minute here on Clay Millen, the quarterback, freshman transfer, obviously going to hit the field with significant time for the first time this season.
You know, the system familiarity helps. He was Nevada's number two. He got in for a cup of coffee behind Carson Strong, who certainly everybody here, who, I mean, I only saw Carson Strong once personally, saw him a lot on TV when he came down. And the only time I saw him personally, he had thrown three touchdowns in about 18 seconds. So and they're like, he was just a step behind that guy. So that gives me a lot of trust. Now, granted, that was against CSU's defense on a team that was folding up the tent in late November, but I take that as a good omen of things to come that way. He has some Denver ties. We're going to be reading about those in your Denver Post in the coming weeks. Some really, really nice kid. Talk to him a little bit. Talk to his family a little bit. And I think he's a guy. I would be surprised if Rams fans don't fall in love with Clay Millen in one way or another at some point this year. I don't know if it will be after week one, for a lot of reasons,
yeah.
But I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen at some point.
I got to run. Give me a yay or nay, asking everyone who covers the team this question. Yay or nay on the extension for Joe Parker, the checkered career of the athletic director?
Mild yay. But
mild yay. I
gotta only
with that,
if,
Sean,
if,
I gotta
if,
get to break.
If Jay works out and they can get one more NCAA bid out of Nico.
Yep, Nico. Nico is a great hire, and Jay looks like a great one, too. So I'm on the yay side, but you're right. It's checkered. Hey, thank you.